You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, joined by my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, looking on the tariffs around the world here at the beginning of the last month of the year. It's at the same time looking at the tariff conversation between Washington and Beijing, the heart of the heart of the heart of the matter. We're joined by our colleague on trade and manufacturing for many years, our guru, Alan Tonelson. Gentlemen, the headline, promising. Trump says she agreed to expand farm buys. U.S. may cut income tax due to tariff revenue. This is an update of the Trump tariffs. I'm interested in the Chinese part. Gordon, before I turn to Alan and his analysis, my memory is in mid-January of 2020, there were Xi Jinping counselors in Washington in the Oval Office with President Trump, and they were there to sign a so-called trade deal, phase one, that involved buying agricultural products from the U.S. My memory is the pandemic hit right after that, maybe the next weekend, rumor of, and everything went haywire. At the same time, my memory is China did not fulfill its commitments then and is now promising to fulfill the same equipments now. Is that true? Thank you, Gordon.
That's certainly true, John. You're referring to the phase one trade deal, which was signed on January 15th, 2020 in the East Room. And China agreed to certain purchase requirements of U.S. goods and U.S. farm products. Now, China didn't meet either of those requirements. They say, well, COVID hit. But China's negotiators knew about COVID on January 15th, 2020. They knew about it. The latest, you could argue, was basically the second week of December. They had to know about it then. And yet they determined not to fulfill their trade requirements, obligations to us.
Alan, a good evening to you. That was then. This is now. Is there reason to believe these counselors are more true to their commitments in 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024? It's going to be 2026. Are they different people? Have they learned their lesson not to renege on the deal?
Well, they sure look like the same people to me. And although there seems to be no doubt that the Chinese have started to resume purchases of U.S. agricultural products recently, including American soybeans, they're clearly the same leaders that they had back in 2020 and 2021. And the Chinese have been notorious for not living up to the terms of trade promises that they make. And this goes back to the early 1990s. So I would basically use the approach that Ronald Reagan used toward the Soviet Union. I would trust, but I would verify. And I would certainly wait a lot longer than 1 month's worth of soybean purchases to decide that the Chinese are well on the way to keeping that promise for a change.
Gordon, Alan introduces proverbs, so I have one for this. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on me. We know better. We're shaming ourselves to be fooled by the Chinese, and we're pretending that we can be fooled again. Can we be? Are these innocent characters in the second Trump administration?
Well, they can't be innocent because they have to know what went on because many of them were there in the first Trump administration. And by the way, China has agreed to purchase 12 million metric tons of soybeans before the end of this year, and they are certainly not on track to do so. Now, they could speed up their purchases month of December, but it doesn't look like it, John. And so, therefore, it's like fool me 26 times.
Right. Alan, your measure of American manufacturers watching this trade deal, do they think agricultural products are discontinuous from their production line? And do they think the Chinese negotiate differently when it comes to food than they do to finished products?
Well, when we're talking about offshoring American manufacturers, I don't think that they really care. That is, those large multinational companies who have sent so much in terms of not only jobs, but also production and technology to China, mainly in hopes, at least until very recently, of supplying the U.S. market, not the Chinese market. But there are certainly U.S.-based manufacturers who have always done most of their production at home, and they remain very skeptical about Chinese promises. And if I were them, I would really start to become very worried that the Trump administration, which I think overall has been a vast improvement over predecessors in terms of overall China trade policy, but there are really signs in recent months that the Trump administration is letting soybeans and agriculture drive U.S. trade policy now. And while it may make sense for President Trump and the Republicans from a political perspective, because he obviously doesn't want to lose a big chunk of his base just before the 2026 midterm elections, from the standpoint of the entire U.S. economy, and certainly U.S. national security, which is so closely tied to manufacturing, and U.S. interests overall, it makes no sense whatever.
Gordon, you have a question for Alan.
Alan, let me shift the topic a little bit. The U.S. and Malaysia recently came to terms on a trade agreement, and there is a Section 5.3, which has gotten the Chinese Foreign Ministry and Commerce Ministry really, really upset. And essentially, it does a couple of things. One of them is it tries to prohibit transshipments, goods that were transshipped from receiving reduced tariff rates coming into the United States. But also there's a provision that generally talks about Malaysia, if it enters into trade agreements with other countries that cause serious concern to the U.S. can terminate the U.S.-Malaysia agreement. Your comments about this, because it seems to be an important provision. It seems to be a replay of the provision that we saw, I think, in May with the U.S.-UK trade agreement. Your comments.
Well, that's exactly right, Gordon. And it's not only a very important subject, it actually represents a great leap forward under Trump 2.0 for U.S. trade policy, because the problem of countries that sign trade agreements with us and then extending the same trade benefits to China has been a major problem for U.S. trade policy for far too long. And the practice of Chinese transshipment, that is the Chinese trying to do and end run around U.S. tariffs by sending products through third countries like Malaysia, has been a big problem also. Now, in fairness, President Biden tried to address transshipment, but he only did it for one product, that being solar panels. And when you're dealing with China, you're dealing with an entire economy that's geared toward predatory trade practices. So you can't do it product by product. And the Trump administration anti-transshipment provisions in these new trade agreements, again, it represents very important progress.
Alan, these observations of yours, are they commonplace knowledge in the manufacturing and trade precincts of the United States? Do the associations all nod their head in agreement with you?
Not exactly, John. And the main reason is that even big U.S. multinational companies, those big offshoring companies that I just referred to, even though they've clearly been burned in very serious ways by various Chinese economic practices, they still seem to hold out the hope of capitalizing on that potentially and, in fact, actually huge Chinese market for their products. And they're still hoping to manufacture in China to export back to the United States. And that's why they're so doggedly opposed to the Trump tariff still. So, again, since most of these manufacturing organizations are run by the very biggest offshoring multinational manufacturers, it's not only it's not that they don't get that message. They don't want to hear that message.
Gordon, is that your experience as well, that after all these years of plunder and malfeasance and bad faith, the manufacturing and trade centers of the U.S. still have the daydream that China will open up and make everyone profitable?
I think that American businessmen and women still have an idealized view of China, although, of course, they're starting to realize that the trade friction means that they need to have alternate sources of supply. So you're seeing companies develop what they call supply webs instead of supply chains. In other words, multiple suppliers, because they're starting to understand how serious this is, and they are now starting to source products in other countries. But as Alan says, they are far too optimistic about the general trend of U.S.-China trade.
I have a question for Alan.
Alan, you know, we are seeing companies start to rethink their supply networks. What do you think is going to drive this in the future? Is it going to be the Chinese pushing people out, or is it going to be more the U.S. pulling companies out of China?
I think it's going to be a combination of the two. Certainly, China has become a much more difficult place to do business for foreign-owned companies than it had been. And this has been going on really throughout Xi Jinping's reign, which started, as I recall, in 2015 or so. But there's also no doubt that U.S. tariffs are a big part of this picture, because once again, a big part of these companies' business plans entails producing in China for export to the United States. And since the Trump tariffs are making that a much more formidable challenge, they have to look elsewhere for production platforms. They've largely gone to other low-cost countries like Malaysia, like Southeast Asia, like Mexico, but some of them have indeed been coming back to the U.S. And even when they come to places like Mexico, chances are the share of the parts and components of those final products are going to be coming from this country rather from elsewhere in East Asia in particular. And that's a big boon for U.S.-based manufacturing.
We're speaking with Alan Tonelson, our guru on manufacturing and trade in the U.S. for many years, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. And Alan has agreed, when we come back, to philosophize about what we've learned about Chinese best practices these last years, and what it means to look at the history of China and the world over the last, say, 1,000 years.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.